This is your home for Atlanta Braves baseball, bringing you the latest on the Braves all year. This is the Atlanta Braves Clubhouse Report, with all the breaking news on the Braves and insiders from Atlanta to across the world of baseball.
1-1 to Olsen, and he drives one to deep center field, back at the wall, that is pulverized out of the ballpark.
Presented by Arrow Exterminators. Call 888-GO-ARROW or visit arrowexterminators.com.
Swung on, belted, deep right field, gone.
The Braves Clubhouse Report on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Welcome into the Braves Radio Network studios here in the Battery, Atlanta. We're steps away from the right field gate at Truist Park, where there aren't that many people right now. No team, no players, and all the administrative types down in Orlando for winter meetings. And if you've missed any of the coverage of winter meetings, Braves Radio Network's Chris Domino has been down there. You can check out everything he's done on the 680 The Fan app. And of course, 680 The Fan is the flagship of the Braves Radio Network. We got a lot to get to in this edition of the Braves Clubhouse Report. We'll talk about Dale Murphy and why it is absolutely disgraceful that he did not get into the Hall of Fame. Free agency was sort of quiet for the first few days of the winter meetings, and that has changed quite a bit over the last couple of days and even over the last hour. A big name is off the board, so we'll talk about the impact of that and maybe how the Braves move forward with another chip off the table. But of course, this is a big offseason for the Braves in a variety of different ways. What happened last year and the offensive issues from the year before as well, they've got Braves country angry, mad, desperate. And when you add a managerial change on top of that, then you're sort of looking toward a new era. And it's a new era in a variety of different ways. And obviously, the biggest way, the biggest change was Brian Snitker retiring and Walt Weiss coming in. And luckily, since we are here on the Braves Radio Network, 680 The Fan, the flagship, had Walt Weiss on the air on Wednesday on Cellini and Domino. Here is that interview.
All right, Walt, so you're a manager now. You have to walk around with a name tag on. That's a little bit different now that you're down there at the winter meetings as a manager.
Yeah, that's a true statement. Yeah, you just never know if they know you or not. So you got to keep the name tag on.
Well, just to be, better to be safe than sorry. So I guess the plan's kind of coming together. Talk about the staff, because the last time we had you on, there wasn't a staff.
No, excited about the staff, man. I mean, I just talking to some reporters a minute ago, and look, we were happy with our staff last year, and we were good with everyone coming back. When some guys became available, you know, that changed the game. And so a guy like Hefner, a guy like Antoine at first base, those guys were very valued in the industry. So the thing that makes me happy and it's reassuring for me is that, you know, every time we announced a coaching hire, my phone blew up with people that had a history with these guys and said, man, you guys are putting together an unbelievable staff. So, yeah, just think the fact that some of these guys became available is why you saw the changes.
You just said something about Tim Hires, and I will confirm. Well, I'll let you say, what is it you just actually talked about when Tim Hires' name came up?
Yeah, Tim Hires is, I'm here to tell you, is an outstanding hitting coach. He's one of the best I've ever been around. And I'm all things considered, you know, his calm demeanor, the information, the delivery of the information, the connection with the players, knowing the swing, he's really good. And, look, I get it. You know, we were really bad offensively last year in the first half. And a hitting coach, you know, he tends to take the heat. And Tim did it and kept his head down and kept doing his thing. And he has conviction in what he does and how what he knows and how he does it. And he should, because he's really good. And so I'm excited about having Tim Hires as our hitting coach. And I know our players are too.
So if I simply ask, what do you think happened last year offensively?
Yeah, I don't have a great answer for you. I got to be honest. The first half is a bit of a mystery to me. You know, I just know that in this game, things tend to snowball. And when you, especially in the beginning, everyone wants to get off to a good start. You start looking up at the scoreboard a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks into the season, and you see 158, 162. It starts to play with your mind, man. And so I do think there's probably some of that. When guys get off to slow starts, it gains some momentum, you know, in a bad way. So it's all part of it, man. It's all part of the challenges of this league. But our guys have all done it before. They've all been really good. And I expect our offense to be good again.
Walt Weiss, Braves manager, is with us as Domino's down there at spring training. We'll just say for the sake of advertisement, he's with us on the Loud Security Systems newsmaker line. So we all do it. I'm sure you do it as well as the manager of the team. Do you kind of run through lineups? Maybe you write them down, starting staff, all those things as you prepare for spring training?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we're a ways out from that, but of course it's on my radar. And, you know, it's exciting when you put those names on paper, what it could be. So, you know, there'll be some fluidity to it. You know, I've been asked about the DH spot. I do like the flexibility of having that spot open, you know, to use it to give guys what I call half a day off, you know, get them off their legs, being able to do some creative things with the lineup, you know, have Baldwin in there, have his bat in there as much as possible. So it gives you some freedom. Now, you know, Alex signed some big hairy guy that wants a DH for us. I'm all in on that. You know?
You got a name? You want to throw in a name?
You know.
Okay.
Clue Hayward from the movie Major League. He'll DH.
I figured we're here. We might as well ask.
You putting your name in the hat, Dave?
No, I'm not, as a matter of fact. I am not. But I am looking forward to perhaps. So it's interesting because you played in the American League, and I had always heard the story about managing the American League was easy. You didn't have to worry about pulling a pitcher out and DHing and pinch hitting and all that crap. I always thought what the real advantage in the American League was is you had the DH spot to do what you want based upon matchups. Who's on the mound? How are we playing? Do I need a DH to hit third? Do I need him to hit sixth? I never thought that was really talked about enough. And when you talk about an open spot, look, I worry a little bit about that because who are you filling it with day in and day out? I'll take a big hairy, quite honestly. But at the end of the day, can you talk a little bit about using the DH to your advantage if you have a little bit of a rotation?
I think you look at guys and you watch them. You know when guys are dragging, when they're struggling, and maybe you want to keep the bat in the lineup just because of the name, and you know that means something when the opposing pitcher looks at your lineup and he sees that name, even if he's struggling a little bit. But you give his mind a little bit of a break, you know, and put him in that DH spot. You get Ronald with his history with his knees. You know, you use that spot for him. Like I said, Baldwin. You know, keeping that bat alive. So it just gives you a lot of freedom and some opportunities to be a little creative with the offense. So I do like the thought of that. But look, yeah, like you said, we got some impact guy that can deal. You know, he moves a needle. I'm all in.
All right. But we talked, let's just call it during BP, when you were about to hit ground balls. Ronald first, Ronald third. Does it depend on who's
maybe
hitting?
I know you don't like Ronald first. I've heard this is documented by you.
It's well documented, Walt.
Well
documented. Yes, I know.
Yeah. So how much depends upon who's hitting eighth and ninth and RBI opportunities and the idea? I know you, and you could say, I know how you want to start a game. Give me a monster coming out of the gate and let that guy in the mound have to figure it out really quickly. But trade off to what when you talk about what you'll do with him?
Yeah, those are conversations I'm going to have with Ronald. Look, I and you heard me a few minutes ago. I like the fact that Ronald at the top of the lineup, he only leads off once. Now, after that, it becomes almost circular, right, the lineup, instead of linear. It goes around and around. So it does matter who's at the bottom of the lineup. I like having speed in the nine hole. I like having guys that get on base in the nine hole for the teeth. You know, and for the boppers, you know, that are coming up behind them. So that's something to think about. But I want to get Ronald's thoughts on this too. You know, he was prolific in that. He was doing things that you know only Ricky Henderson did. You know, in that leadoff spot there when he was doing it regularly. So it's something to think about. And I do like the fact that when a lineup turns over, it's nasty right away. You know, and the pitcher's got to deal with that. So this is a good conversation, good debate. And so, I enjoy that stuff. I enjoy the lineup construction stuff. I do. I like doing that stuff. So that'll be fun.
Walt Weiss is with us, Braves manager. I know that you talked to some reporters right before you had a conversation with us, and I think you said, Dubon, you don't have a problem push come to shove with him as your shortstop as well, right?
Correct. You know, this guy's been a plus defender all over the field. He protects us in a lot of ways. You know, say, you know, for instance, Alex goes out and he's hunting arms, you know, and Dubon's our short. He spends a bunch of money on arms and Dubon's our shortstop. I'm way good. Way good with that. Now, as we know, you know, Alex never stops trying to improve the roster. So something can happen between now and the beginning of spring training. We all know that. But if Dubon's running out to short on opening day, I'm good.
We talked about messaging, and you were honest. You said you think about it all the time. But you're not talking about rules. These guys know you. You know them. Talk a little bit about mentality, because you did use that word a couple of times in the room before.
I'm big on the mentality of the athlete. I think the mentality of the athlete is the X factor in competition, especially at this level where the margin of victory is so small. The guy that thinks the right way, and I think thinks aggressively, has the advantage. And it tilts the scales. So I will routinely challenge our guys on their mentality and how we approach the game and how we think the game, because I think it's a difference maker. I think it's a difference maker, and I know it's a difference maker. There's so many examples, you know, in every sport where the better mentality wins. You know, all things being equal, as for the most part they are. I mean, every team's good in the big leagues, so they're talented. So yeah, that's an area of emphasis for me.
Is it kind of strange to be having these conversations right now? You use the term fluid. It's absolutely right. So many things can change by the time spring training rolls around, but I guess we just have to have the conversations with what we have right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as we sit here today, we're going to talk about the cards we have in our hands. So, but I would expect those cards to change a little bit between now and Northport.
Two things. People might not know. Tell everybody what you did for 4 years. I think this is a story that's what did you do for 4 years before you got the Colorado manager job?
Well, now, I was a special assistant to the GM and the manager for 8 years, and then I stepped away from the game for 4 years, and I was coaching high school football. You know, so I got a phone call to see if I wanted an interview for the Rockies job because it became available, and I wasn't sure they were serious, you know. But I said, hey, what the heck, you know, I'll go do this interview. I've never done this before, and see what happens, see what it's like, get some experience. I want to get back in the game at some point. And, yeah, I screwed around, ended up getting a job, you know. But so very different circumstances this time around. Hopefully I've learned some things along the way. But I'm excited about our club and the people I work with. That's what excites me about sitting in this chair. Our players and the people I work with are really good. Our personalities are different. Our leadership styles are different. I've been around a lot of great managers, a lot of great baseball people. I will take a little bit from all of them. But at the end of the day, it's going to be very different from everybody I've been around because it's going to be my voice and my personal touch. So, yeah, I think it's a lazy take, you know. If you want me to be honest, it's a lazy take, you know. So just ask yourself that same question, and then you see how absurd it is.
Well, note to self, do not ask Walt if he's just like Brian Snicker. All right, so I won't ask that question when we see you down at spring training. Walt Weiss, thanks for coming on with us as always. And like we said, we'll catch up with you in February when we go down there, and hopefully we'll have more answers to the questions, as you said, of this fluid situation.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate you guys, man.
That is Braves manager Walt Weiss on with Cellini and Domino on the flagship of the Braves Radio Network 680. The Fan. A couple things there that I think were very interesting that Walt said, and that one of them, and I think the biggest one, is the possibility of moving Ronald Acuna Jr. back to the leadoff spot. And myself and Chris Domino, you heard in that interview, Chris was and has been very adamant that he likes Ronald Acuna Jr. in the three spot and not at the leadoff spot. But he has said consistently, like a politician, he has conceded the election. He understood and saw what Ronald did in the leadoff spot and went with it. And I think as last year went on and Ronald was moved to the number three spot permanently, essentially, in that season, it was because the bottom of the order was so bad. It was because Nick Allen wasn't hitting. And then Ha-Seong Kim got there, and you know, still the bottom of the order, no matter who was at batting ninth, was not where it should be. And Walt referenced this. If you have somebody hitting like Michael Harris did for a month when he got hot in the number nine spot, then yeah, you would love to have a little bit of a buffer, so to speak. But if nobody's hitting at the bottom of the lineup and Ronald Acuña is coming up in the second AB, the third AB, the fourth AB, and all he's got the chance to do is knock himself in, then it kind of defeats the purpose. And yes, I know you're getting more at-bats, you know, cumulatively over the course of a season if you bat your best hitter leadoff, but I think it depends on the bottom of the order whether that's a good idea or not. And I think Walt made it pretty clear that that he feels that way too. Now, pitchers were sort of discussed, but on Sunday night we had a press conference, a Zoom call with Alex Anthopoulos, and you heard a little bit about this, but one topic came up that I thought was fascinating, and it was we asked him, I can't remember who specifically it was, I think it was Mark Bowman, asked Alex Anthopoulos about Grant Holmes. And Alex flat out said that this is essentially now a normal offseason for Grant Holmes, that he has received nothing but rave reviews from doctors and from trainers, and that this rehab process for his elbow has worked. And going under the knife is not something that is expected at this point. So Alex, who does talk an awful lot, went through all of the starting pitchers, Holmes, Strider, Sale, Schwelly, Ronaldo Lopez, Waldrop, and even Bryce Elder. And he said he wasn't and isn't as concerned now as he was essentially a month ago. So to me, you connect some dots, and it's clear at this point, or I think it's I wouldn't say clear, but it does make sense that the Braves have not gone hot and heavy in the starting pitching market in winter meetings, because Alex flat out told us he is way more confident with his guys now than he was last month. And a lot of that has to do with Grant Holmes and the success this rehab has been, the success of the rehab compared to what it would have been if he went under the knife. So because of that, I don't necessarily think you're going to see the Braves land a massive starting pitcher anymore. They're going to focus their efforts elsewhere, at shortstop, at getting a designated hitter, at beefing up the offense, which I think was the biggest issue anyway. But, you know, I think if Grant's healthy, you essentially have seven starting pitchers with Grant, Spencer Strider, Chris Sale, Schwelly, Ronaldo Lopez, Hurston Waldrop, and even Bryce Elder. And Double A mentioned that Bryce doesn't have any more options. And it, to me, that sort of made it feel like, okay, maybe he's okay with Hurston Waldrop bouncing up and down a little bit this year. And if somebody goes down, him being the first call up. But the starting pitching, it isn't a liability right now. In fact, I think it's a strength because of the numbers that you have, especially if Grant Holmes is healthy. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the free agent market. A couple of names off that list, including one Wednesday afternoon that is going to an organization that's got a lot of money to spend. Who is it? We'll talk about it next. This is the Braves Clubhouse Report on the Braves Radio Network.
The Braves Clubhouse Report on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Cold months in the South mean that rodents, critters, and pests are trying to find a way into your warm house. Luckily, you can trust the pros at Arrow Exterminators to keep your home pest-free inside and out. Arrow protects homes and businesses and is the official pest control provider of Truist Park and the Braves, so you know you're getting the best from the best. To set up a free pest inspection, call 888-GO-ARROW or visit arrowexterminators.com.
Now, here's more Braves talk from inside the clubhouse. This is the Atlanta Braves Clubhouse Report, presented by Arrow Exterminators on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Welcome back. It is the Braves Clubhouse Report right here on the Braves Radio Network. Barrett Salee getting you up to date on everything that's gone on in the world of the Atlanta Braves. And, of course, winter meetings from Sunday through Wednesday, Thursday afternoon. And it has been an interesting couple of days, especially Tuesday and Wednesday, because we got news Tuesday that Kyle Schwarber signed a five-year, $150 million deal with the Philadelphia Phillies. And one day later, Pete Alonso, 5 years, $155 million. And I don't want to necessarily get ahead of my skis here, but I think the fact that Pete Alonso is probably going to play a little first base, maybe start at first base, is a big reason why he got a little extra money, $5 million when compared to Kyle Schwarber. And that has, I think, set the tone for the rest of the market offensively. You know, Kyle Tucker, from all accounts, Mets, Yankees, Orioles, Blue Jays, all in on Kyle Tucker. He is also a Scott Boras client, as is Pete Alonso. So I think the five-year, $155 million deal that Pete Alonso got, you know, he's definitely going to use that as negotiating leverage for Kyle Tucker. It doesn't really matter in terms of the Braves. The Braves aren't going to get any of those guys. They weren't going to get Schwarber. They weren't going to go after Alonso. They weren't going to go after Kyle Tucker. So, again, like I said last segment, offense is the problem, but those guys were sort of, I would say, out of consideration a long time ago. The Braves want somebody with a little bit more versatility, and certainly somebody who can play a position rather than just sit on the bench and swing the bat five times per game. So that leaves us with Ketel Marte. And there was a story this week that Ketel Marte might be on the trading block, and the D-backs have been shopping him pretty aggressively. Red Sox, Blue Jays, Mariners, Rays, Phillies, and potentially the Reds all in on that. I wonder if the Braves might get in as well because he's cheap. 5 years, $91 million, $11.5 million player option for 2030. He's a great player. He'd fit in a variety of different ways. You can use him as a DH. You can move him all over the place. You can be creative with the defense and where you use everybody with him. But what you give up, obviously, is a big deal. And we had the draft lottery this past week, and the Braves drew the number 9 spot. And, I mean, it was like a bomb went off in Braves country. Oh, my God, 9. It's one of those years. I can't believe we drew. It's the 9th overall pick. It's not a big deal when compared to 7 or 6 or even 1. This is not the NFL. If it's the NFL, then yeah, that's a huge difference. But for Major League Baseball players, it's kind of a crapshoot. Yes, the first round guys, generally speaking, are going to be stars. But the difference between 4 and 9 or 3 and 9 really isn't that big of a deal. But getting a bat that can win now is. Do you keep the number 26 pick that we got from Drake Baldwin winning the Rookie of the Year? I'd shop both of them. I'd shop everything to get, whether it's Marte or anybody. Because the Braves window is now. The Braves window right now is open, but it's not going to be open for more than a few more years unless Alex Anthopoulos changes, you know, makes some different moves and signs more players to player-friendly contracts or extends some of these guys, Ronald or Austin or Spencer Strider, whatever. But if the hang-up is keeping the 9th overall pick or the 26th overall pick, that's not a hang-up. That's an easy choice. You shop those. You shop them as aggressively as possible because there's no reason to keep them if you can get a superstar that can make this lineup comparable to what we had in 2023. There's no reason to keep them. So I'm fascinated to see if the Braves do get aggressive. Now, there have been some pitching moves, relief pitching moves that have gone down this week as well. Most notably, Edwin Diaz, 3 years, $69 million with, of course, the Dodgers. Look, closers are closers. I'm not necessarily concerned with Edwin Diaz. Rossell Iglesias is more than effective. There was a ranking of closers a couple weeks ago that was posted. He was third behind Robert Suarez and Edwin Diaz. I'm fine with Rossell Iglesias, but there was a report from MLB.com that the Braves still are in the process of, or at least hot and heavy, for Robert Suarez. And MLB Trade Rumors values him at 3 years, $48 million. Iglesias, his prediction from them before the Braves signed him was 2 years and $26 million. So it's not really that much off. Do you go with Robert Suarez and Rossell Iglesias and have Suarez as insurance or vice versa if one of the relievers goes into a little bit of a funk? I think you absolutely entertain that option. And do you overpay? Yes, I think you could overpay with that because you know the rest of the pieces in that bullpen need some reinforcements. There aren't that many in the bullpen right now. Dylan Lee, if you had to go right now, it'd be Dylan Lee as your 8th-inning guy and then Rossell Iglesias. Why don't we make Dylan Lee a 7th-inning guy? We don't know what's going to happen with Jose Jimenez. It seems like every time we talk to Alex or even when we talk to Snit before Snit retired, Joe's working his way back. Well, that doesn't really tell us an awful lot. Yes, he is working his way back. When will he be back? So going after a guy like Robert Suarez, when I saw that pop up on MLB.com, that my ears perked up. Yes, we should absolutely do that. Finding as many closers as possibly can would be very helpful for the 2026 Atlanta Braves. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. This is the Braves Clubhouse Report on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
The Braves Clubhouse Report on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Officer, can I get your perspective as a man of the law?
You know I'm a mall cop, right?
You see this Hyundai Santa Fe? I only paid for it.
Whoa.
Right? I'm not in trouble, am I?
Deal's so right, it almost feels wrong. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Get 0% APR for 60 months, plus zero payments for 90 days on all Hyundai Tucson, Tucson Hybrid, Santa Fe, or Santa Fe Hybrid models. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. Offer ends January 5th. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
A golf instructor who knows technique can improve an aspiring pro swing.
Four.
But one who really cares can help transform a career.
There he is, your new champion.
When you team up with someone who knows a lot and cares even more, you're unstoppable. At Truist, we believe the same is true for banking. Truist, leaders in banking, unwavering in care. Truist Bank, member FDIC, leading based on top 10 U.S. commercial bank.
All the latest on the Braves live from Truist Park in the heart of Atlanta. This is the Braves Clubhouse Report, presented by Arrow Exterminators on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Wrapping things up here in the Braves Radio Network studios, Barrett Salee talking about all things Atlanta Braves. Of course, Dale Murphy did not get in to the Hall of Fame. We've gone through this over and over again. It's just a shame that the player with the second most RBI in a 10-year span is not in the Hall of Fame, especially one that did it on some really bad Atlanta Braves teams. Might be another three more years before he has a chance to do it. But Dale Murphy, hopefully he does get into that Hall of Fame very quickly. That'll wrap things up here on the Braves Clubhouse Report. We'll come back next Wednesday. Hopefully we'll have a couple new players to talk about on the 2026 Atlanta Braves roster. Thanks to Cullen Madden making things happen behind the glass. I'm Barrett Salee. This has been the Braves Clubhouse Report on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Thanks for joining us for the Braves Clubhouse Report, presented by Arrow Exterminators on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. Join us each week for all the latest updates from Braves country as we keep you dialed into the Atlanta Clubhouse. This has been a presentation of Dickey Broadcasting Company, the Atlanta Braves, and the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.